you're going.
Okay, 7:30. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Don Tarnelli, Chairman. In attendance is Jerry Waters, Jim Grant, Steve Vayette, Maureen Lovejoy, Lori Elkins, and Kent McCoy. Let's see. First of all, so call the meeting to order. Who volunteers to take minutes?
I do. I've started.
Look at that. All right. And you figured I would forget about that. So that's that. As far as any members of the public here, not really. I did get an email from someone in the public, and there will be a discussion next month about a storage box at 48 and 44 Maple Avenue that has a big U-Haul sign, possibly construed as advertising. And one of the fine residents on Maple Avenue objects. But anyhow, so in the next month, if you can look at that.
A U-Haul storage box?
Yeah.
Is it a temporary thing?
I think so.
Like a pod or one of those kinds of
yeah.
things?
Yeah.
All right.
But it's kind of bright orange with a big U-Haul.
Yeah. Oh.
Sometimes they're not temporary. Sometimes.
Maple yeah. Ave.
So the question is, yeah, is it temporary? And if it's temporary, that's, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I told the person that several meetings ago we had a discussion about temporary covers for two-wheeled vehicles.
Yeah.
And it was.
See that eyesore?
At least it's not all right. Orange.
New business, application 2601, the first one of the year, 104 Main Street, adding an ADA concrete ramp to the front entrance, low brick wall and railing. Mr. Michael Carnwright, and we have Kyle.
Yeah.
Would you like to sure. make any presentation?
Yeah, do you mind if I pin something up on that wall? Would that be helpful? Or?
Yeah. Oh, it's got a pin. Pin it up on the concrete wall.
Yeah. My name's Kyle Cruz. I work for Wolfworks. We're a design build company in Avon. Work with Janet Downey, who's sure you guys know. And
she's
right around the corner.
Is that the same sheet?
No. Similar. One just has some pictures, and then we started drafting up some details, but we don't want to get too far until we kind of got a heads up from you guys. So you guys obviously all familiar with LaSalle. Mm-hmm. Michael and his company have been trying to make some ADA improvements to the building. We've currently underway with some bathroom renovations inside, which includes an accessible bathroom. And we're trying to figure out a acceptable solution to getting a ramp into the main front door for folks in wheelchairs to be able to get in there. Currently, someone kind of gets wheeled up to the step, that little plinth that's in the inside of the storefront. Has to be physically lifted as well as adjustments with the door to get through. So our proposal in talking with Mike would be to take advantage of, as the street is kind of sloping down towards the pad into the center there, provide an accessible ramp at 5% from essentially the outside corner of the building to a level landing that would essentially be an extension of this plinth. We're most likely going to replace that plinth based on the state that it's in so that we can tie everything in nicely. But the intent is that you would be able to come either up the sidewalk and turn to go on the ramp or be coming down the street towards, you know, Crown and Hammer. Use the ramp to a level landing and then be able to enter the restaurant. Because we're picking up the elevation right outside, kind of in this area right where that plinth is, there would be another ramp down to the seating area that's out there, just so there's no tripping hazard. And if someone is, you know, a little physically disabled or wheelchair bound, they're still able to take advantage of eating outside. Our intent is to try to make it look like it's been there since the beginning. So we're trying to copy the same brick detail of that current retaining wall that's there, even, you know, match the pipe railing that's there. We're going up 9 inches at its steepest point. I'm sorry, 7 inches at its steepest point from the sidewalk to that first step. So there would be a step at the sidewalk for folks to get in. So it's, it doesn't really change the condition much because currently people have to step up here. We're just moving that out one sidewalk panel. Really kind of the only place we can think of that this works. You do lose some outdoor seating, which Michael is more than said was fine, to allow these folks to get a better access to the building. The door itself, you know, is not necessarily built for an ADA, you know, clearances and doors, but at least for doing this phase, we feel is like a good first step to making the building more accessible for everyone. We don't have any strong, you know, we're not trying to propose any type of wild architecture, trying to mimic what's there, open to suggestions or preferences from this group. And obviously this is a really important, you know, spot in town, so we don't want to mess it up. So these are some drawings that we've been working on. We've tested out the grades. We feel that we can make this work elevation-wise, and we've spoken with Ironwork Company to match the profile of the railings. We'd want to match the size and coursing of the brick that's there and the same detail with the mounting of the pipe rail. We would have to, so from this light post that's shown, you know, here and then in this zoom up and this post, we would have to modify this section of retaining wall, which we're showing here, which has starts to pick up a slight ramp, which we definitely have to find a new spot for the dog bowl. But we will, you know, try to bring that up to the same elevation so that we can have these two kind of retaining walls talk to each other and then taper down. And I think that's pretty much it, what we're proposing. We started working out some details just on what we saw out there, but again, don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves until we had a chance to speak with you guys.
And you said the door itself into the building is right now is not really an ADA compliant door.
Yeah, technically no. We need to have some clearance on the pole side of the handle. Yeah. And because of the way the storefront is angled,
right,
we're just not able to do that without, you know, like an operator or something like that. I think this definitely makes the entry sequence a lot easier, obviously, for someone that is wheelchair bound. But the
reason why I'm asking is that if you, at some point in the future, you have to replace the door with something else, if that something else becomes wider, you're going to have to open up that trapezoid,
yeah,
which means all the work you're doing right now to make it all fit in nice and neat is kind of going by the wayside. So if you're going to go through all this process, if you need to widen that, now would be the time to do it so you can do it all at the same time. You know what I mean?
Hmm. Although, as you said, it'd be easier probably just to go to a power operator at that point.
If power operator on the existing door?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, add it, and then you wouldn't need the full pole clearance.
Yeah, and then we wouldn't be modifying, you know, the original.
You could leave
either.
You can leave
the trapezoid as it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah, and that was our thought. If we ever did, you know, take this to the next level, obviously there's costs involved and things like that, but a power-operated door would, I think, would satisfy that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 18 inches you're supposed to have clear pole space.
Yeah.
Which would require squaring that off, which would be
unfortunate.
Yeah,
but you can get waivers from the state.
Yeah,
yes. If you had a power operator,
right.
I think.
Well, also, it's an existing building, an existing condition. Right. You're making it better. It's public use, so there's going to be somebody who can open the door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this is kind of, everyone knows this as the entry to the south, so I don't want to try to relocate that or mess around with what people are familiar with.
And so you're going to go through all this, and you still really won't have ADA access.
I guess to the letter of the ANSI and ADA codes, we're not going to because of the door itself, but there is the ability to retrofit that door to allow for the operator to be in use, which would allow that, you know, to be fully accessible with the operator.
I mean, operators aren't that.
No.
Aren't that
and as one former Canton building official said to me, it's better than it was.
Oh, yeah, but it's
No, did I say that?
No, it's before your time.
It kind of disappears in with all the existing street treatment.
Yeah.
Along LaSalle. So
the only other precedent we have is the bank up the street that has a ramp.
Yep.
They have, like, I think it's a brick inlay. I know the sidewalks are recently redone, so we were just proposing keeping the sidewalk pattern and then, you know, introducing the new brick retaining wall. Keep it nice and simple.
Yeah. I think that brick curb on the ramp is really nice. It all ties in along Main Street.
One thing your plans don't acknowledge, though, is the retaining wall between the uppers of the seating area that's right in the back of that station wagon right there.
Yeah.
Your drawings don't indicate that any place, which is part of the issue. I mean, your rendering doesn't.
Yeah, you're talking about the rest of the railing as it continues down.
Well, no, there's another railing between that railing and the wall that's not shown there.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Unless I'm missing something.
There's this, you know, the retaining wall that you walk alongside on the sidewalk with the guardrail up high.
Yeah.
That's this kind of, it's grayed out here. That's the existing to remain. So that's kind of shown behind this wagon. This is the existing railing that we kind of have to take out because we have to modify this section of brick. But the intent is that rail height remains the same all the way along that whole seating area. And most of that rail stays. We're only taking out this last section to the lamppost.
But the railing in your rendering,
yeah,
that's at the curb.
Yeah.
There's another railing between that curb and the wall.
And the wall of the LaSalle?
Yeah, the one right there.
Is a railing there?
No, I mean.
No, it's all one railing.
This is all one.
Yeah.
This is all on the same plane.
Yeah,
this railing continues through.
Yeah, you put it. It's. Yeah, but there's this railing.
Right.
Is back here.
No, that's right here.
No, because there's a sidewalk between that wall and that curb.
Mm-hmm.
So between this curb and that wall, there's another railing.
So we have the curb down here.
Oh,
that's this curb.
Right.
And then,
well, what's this curb then?
That's not the street curb.
That's a step.
That's the step. So that's where we're taking this
plant,
and we're going to pull that out.
That was the curb.
No, sorry. That is the street curb.
The sidewalk.
Yeah, this is the sidewalk you walk by. Sorry about the
picture. Okay. Didn't see the line there.
Yeah,
okay.
It's. We're trying to bring this step out to this control point here for the sidewalk. So you do lose, you know, this part of the sidewalk, but it becomes part of the entry.
Yeah, it's this line here, I guess. It's the edge of the curb. Okay. So I thought we were going to lose parking too, because I thought that railing was right up against the curb.
Okay.
The way it looked. So
the only loss is the seating area, these two seats out here, which I know are awesome, but I think it's a good compromise.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to, though, do you?
Or
I guess you do.
Yeah, it would be on the ramp.
You'd be sitting on the ramp.
Yep.
Okay. Any further questions, comments, suggestions, critiques?
Yeah, like I said, I'm open to whatever, if there's any adjustments you guys feel that would make this feel more part of the street fabric, but I think that's what we're trying to do. I'm not sure of any other.
So you're having the railings fabricated?
Yeah. Well, that's our plan right now.
Yeah.
Iron Works down on Route 44, we've
mm-hmm.
shown them that they can make, you know, this make the same profiles.
Yeah. I worked on the museum, and we actually did a handicap entry there.
Okay.
And we tried to find those railings and gave up.
Okay. Yeah, those guys do.
We didn't think of fabricating it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think we're going to find anything like out of the box that we can use. It's going to be something that gets made specifically for this. And it's not a lot of material. So.
No.
And they're good with one-offs, which is nice.
Yeah. All right.
Well, then.
Corey, want to make a motion?
I move to accept the application as proposed.
Second.
Oh. All right. So go. Cool. So vote to approve.
Yep.
Aye.
Aye.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right. You have to be done in a week and a half.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right.
April 29th, right.
Yeah.
My boss might have done tomorrow.
I asked a follow-up question. Is there any, is there like a public appeals process that we have to wait for like final approval or anything, or is...
Nope.
No, I just sign this and turn it in tomorrow, and then you get your, you have to get your building permit, and I think he gave you some good ideas to, if he, well, you got the language. I mean, it's an existing building, you're making it more compliant, and it's cost-wise, it's prohibitive to do all that.
Yeah, there were some questions about the neighbor's door and things like that that'll work out with the building department. Awesome. Well, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, application 2602, 19 Maple Avenue, which is a blue building. Repair front and side porches, replace window panes and glass. Adam and Kim Silverman. Adam is not here. He is planning on being here. He's emailed back and forth for the last 2 months to me. I mean, he started to Lisa and then to Rand and then to me. And I suggested that he come in and discuss this in a, what do we call that? When you, before, pre-application review. But we didn't have any meetings, so he never showed up. And then he was going to postpone this another month because he couldn't be here. And I emailed him back saying we could deal with this application without him being here. And so he would be happy to do that. So I guess I'll present for him, because I emailed a bunch of times, but basically, it's just repair work on the porch where it's rotted, replacing things in kind. And the issue that he was bringing for the Historic Commission was the window, because it's single glazed, floated glass, and it's cracked. And he wanted to keep that floated glass, but he didn't know if he could get it. And he batted around a few different things. So he's talking about replacing the windows entirely. But this application is only replacing the cracked glass panes. So he may not be able to find floated glass like that. I don't know if from the street you can see it. I suggested they go to Autumn Lights.
What's floated glass?
It's old style glass. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And in an email, I told him if he wanted to pursue floated glass, he would get an extra thumbs up from us.
Is that the same as leaded glass? He talked about leaded glass.
I think that's what he meant.
Yeah.
He
said
okay, leaded. Okay.
Yeah. I read that too, and I thought, does he mean...
I know, like I was trying to think, what does that mean? Or does it have lead in it?
Old glass, it has the ripple kind of...
Yeah, you pour it out on a flat surface. And
okay.
It's really not leaded glass. I mean, it's a realtor's call, but it's actually float glass. They pour it on sometimes on molten lead, and that's where you get the lead from, but it's not leaded glass.
Okay.
I mean, crystal's leaded glass. It's just, that's where you get the waviness from and stuff.
Okay. All right.
So the odds are he won't have that. Whether or not that is discernible from the street is a...
Right.
Probably nobody here has that good vision.
Right. I was going to say, I would. How big is the window? Is it a?
They're big windows.
Oh, they are.
But
big
the
windows,
panes,
but
you know, it's a two by light, so the panes are probably.
Yeah. Okay.
The only thing I wonder is when he says replace in kind with composite materials, I'm a little bit concerned about. What is the actual column profile? What does the lattice look like? Because you can get composite lattice that looks like hell, or you can get really nice ones. Same thing with the posts for the porch. If he says, if he's matching profiles and styles, fine. But if it's something else, it might not be so fine.
Yeah, he really needs to give us
He says,
information on what he's intending to do.
Yeah, you can get, you're right, you can get some really nasty looking plastic, wavy stuff. See it all over town.
So a little more detail about that might be nice. You know, general construction materials, synthetic composite materials, which are fine.
But that's only for the skirt, though, right? The lattice?
I thought that was for everything. Let's see.
I didn't read it that way.
Okay.
I read it as just the lattice was being replaced. And that's the stuff that's touching the ground, which makes sense. So I don't have a problem with it using a synthetic for that, because it won't rot out as quickly.
Although he says
severe damage. But the rest of it looks like, you know, replacement in kind.
But he says severe damage to the guardrails, spindles, and column bases that require complete rebuilding with modern materials. Mm-hmm. So, yes, if they're using one of the composites and cutting and shaping to match what's there, that's fine.
Well, I'm assuming it's epoxy stuff that you can, it's all over my house.
Yeah.
Well, we got to know that.
So maybe if we do approve this, we could add that note that, you know, we're assuming, based on this application, that you're matching existing profiles and dimensions when you say in kind. If you're using modern materials, we're not objecting, we just want it to match.
And if you're using wood, then it's identical. Then there's not an issue at all.
Right, then there's not an issue. Then there shouldn't even be an application.
Okay.
Well, it does say in that northern restoration service, it should be noted that the composite modern materials, the craftsmanship must be matched to the vintage of the residence. Please refer to the photo index.
Where are you, Marie?
I see.
Under at the top. Northern Restoration Service, that first paragraph, background.
Yeah, all right, I got it. Yeah. Yeah, you're right, Kent. The paragraph on the top does say
craftsmanship must be matched. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be a little more specific. I think some more detail would be helpful. But it sounds like they're going to be great stewards of this house and take good care of it.
But if they are going to match it, match the existing profile, the existing styling, even if he's using modern materials, that's, we don't have an objection to that, as long as it matches what's there.
Yeah, okay. Even the National Park Service has come around to realize that.
Yeah, okay.
How do we confirm that?
Well,
that they're doing matching existing. I mean, a lot of times we say, sure,
the craftsmanship must be matched to the vintage of the residence given its historic value. It sounds to me like they're going to match it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of people writing a lot of different things that say they're.
But we can stipulate that's our interpretation of that is it will match.
How do we enforce it?
Is that that old house that was foreclosed?
No.
No.
Okay. Are you saying they're working on it now?
Towards the town hall.
Oh, okay.
It's blue.
There's workmen there.
Yeah.
Tools set up in the yard.
Do we go take a look? And say, yes, you
could
did, or no,
a,
you didn't? I mean, I don't, you know, there's a lot of things that,
I know.
The, you have to do it, but there's no follow-up on that.
Well, it's better to do it now and tell somebody spots after it's finished and get the problem.
I would suggest basically to stipulate that we're going to hold them to the scope, the background paragraph and the scope of work. How that is enforced is a weak point in this commission.
Exactly. I was going to say, for all of our applications,
No, I mean, I've had
most of the town hall, actually.
Yeah.
I
mean,
there's a lot of zoning, things that say can do this, can't do that. And, you know, like the wells up on High Street there, you know. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to be touching the land around any of that area. And nobody enforces it.
Yeah. Can you just give them a call and ask if we can come over, or maybe just you or something, come and take a look?
Yeah, you're close.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it can't be more
stipulate than 2 weeks. We'll do that and we'll verify. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
The other thing, and it's not really an issue for us, but I'm kind of curious as to why the front steps have the riser board and the side steps do not. Seems a little odd. I mean, they're going to rebuild it the way it is, so it's not an issue, but I just thought it was kind of odd that they didn't have risers on the side steps, just to match it.
Well, the building code is going to require risers.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so you don't get your foot caught.
So you can't build like that anymore? All right. Is that true of a deck as well? Do I have to retrofit my deck?
No.
Okay.
What are we going to do? Approve it?
I will make a motion to...
All right, I will make a motion.
Can you approve it contingent upon your inspection of the materials?
Yeah, there's a box here that are stipulated.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll move to approve the application with the stipulation that the composite materials, the craftsmanship, must be matched to the vintage of the residence. How do I word this? Is our interpretation is it's going to match exactly what's there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just the material's different. It's going to match.
And do we want to also stipulate that we'll do a visual inspection to ensure that?
Sure.
All
right. Yeah.
Add that to it. All right. End of motion.
I would say prior to commencement.
Right. Right.
Well, they want to do basically a mock-up. First.
Okay. That'd be great.
Yeah. Okay.
To review mock-up.
Right.
Good second one.
Whoa.
All right.
Maureen, are you voting yes?
No, I vote aye. I was just drinking. Well, that sounds good.
Okay, on to application 2603. Apparently, they're also not here. The Green, replacing all storm door. Richard Hall and Barbara Blumenschein, owners, Stonehouse Construction. So this is the house on the corner of Main Street and the Green on the, what is the east side. It's really handy having this thing put together.
Yeah, okay.
So,
oh, that one, yeah.
Oh, that, is that the big yellow one? On the corner? Oh, that's nice.
Good photos, you guys.
So on the back, they've written up a little narrative about their history with storm doors and why they've chosen to go with an aluminum door in this case.
They're using the full glass.
Yeah, they have the most minimal one selected. It's also an exceptional value.
And this is replacing, what, an old wooden door?
Yeah, there's actually, there aren't any doors on there now. I happened to see it today. And there's you can see the hinges where the doors were. So...
Okay. So and as it says, former doors.
Yeah, they've had multiple doors in there. Well, here's what it says. We lived at the above address since January 1994, have spent inordinate amounts of money over time to have wood storm doors installed and replaced. Over time, the wood storm doors have always proven to be ill-fitting and consequently highly energy inefficient. That said, we now want to install the above described aluminum Anderson painted aluminum storm doors. After having complied with the commission's guidance to try wood storm doors.
The other thing about their existing wood storm doors was they were, you know, they'd have, say, an historic door behind it that would have like two lights and a panel, or two lights and two panels thing.
Oh.
And then the over would be a panel and a 15 light division. I mean, it was just what they've got clashes with the historic door behind it. So I kind of thought this was an improvement.
Because
this
it's going to be all glass, frame. Yeah.
And then you'll see the historic
see the,
door.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah. Cool. Okay.
That's what I have on my house.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The full light, yeah. It's...
Yeah.
I have an ill-fitting door that's drafting.
I was going to say, they're awful.
Yeah.
Those wooden doors are terrible.
And I don't think I bothered doing... I don't even think it crossed my mind to do one of these applications. It was just cold. That's off the record.
Okay.
Any motions? Is there any further discussion? How about a motion?
Make a motion to accept the application as submitted.
Second.
Second is over
there.
Aye.
Okay. All right. And at the bottom of this, it says that if we didn't approve this, we were supposed to tell them what they should do. So they sound a little frustrated.
That's a big house.
Yeah.
Try to maintain that.
Yeah. Okay. Next item is the rewritten guidelines for the historic district.
Finally got them done.
Yeah, great job.
Thanks. Everybody's got a copy of the what I think is the final. Mm-hmm. I don't know if everybody's had a chance to take a look at them and read through them. And see what you think. Any more comments before we... My only comment is that I think I should put on here the original date and then revised April 10th. That's my birthday, April 10th. That's why I want to keep that.
Oh, okay.
But I should probably put 1977 or whatever date I can find and then revise.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So it doesn't look like a brand new document. Yeah. We started someplace with it, you know.
Yeah.
So I like to... I don't know if it's just 1977 or if there's actually a date on something. But other than that, I've been through it many times. I hope the process helped people. It helped me understand what the process was.
Yeah.
You know, dealing with the town and dealing with the state and when we deal with who and... How much people get, you know, what I was trying to eliminate was people getting bounced back and forth, but
there's no way
around it. It's just going
to
be
it's how frustrating.
It's the basketball capital of the world, you know. We bounce a lot. So, wasn't anything I could do to eliminate that? And so, this is where we stand now. It's and if you guys like it, it's.
Yeah.
I was happy to do it.
I'm good with it.
Yeah.
I think
it's clearer.
It's clearer.
Okay. Simplified.
Do we need a motion or anything to adopt these guidelines?
I don't know.
Revised guidelines.
But
I would think we have to move.
Might as well make a motion.
Sure.
And.
Okay. I move to adopt the revised.
Revised, streamlined, and improved guidelines.
I wouldn't say revised. I say guidelines for construction and alteration in the Collinsville Historic District dated 4/10/26.
That's
revised,
what I motion.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
That's what he meant to say.
My mouth isn't big enough to say all that.
Does anyone dare second that? Okay, vote.
All right.
Aye.
Thanks, Jerry.
There we go.
Yeah, I appreciate
we have revised guidelines. Okay, next.
I'll find that date and I'll get that on here, then I'll get it back out. And then who's going to get it? What do we do with it? We post it, right?
It's supposed to go on the website,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let me get a date on it and I'll get it out to everybody and then you can post it, I guess.
Or Neil and then post it.
Oh, Neil does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Because they'll probably store it in their system and just print it to a PDF. That way it's a static document that no one can change. That's what I assume they would do.
I'll copy him on it then, and I'll tell him that we approved it, and we'd like to see it posted.
Okay, I reviewed the agenda, and I couldn't remember what happened with the new commissioner introductory packet. And when I read the draft meeting minutes, we agreed that it was finalized at the last meeting. So we can get this off our agenda.
Okay. All right. Oh.
So now we move on to finalize inventory of Collinsville Historic District structures and the commission's role in preserving historic integrity of such structures. You are going to upgrade some pictures?
Yeah, and those are done. And I guess the question is, can we finalize it knowing that we still need them to research all the way back, right? Because that report that he had given me got me back 5 or 6 years or something like that. But if we really wanted a full repository of everything, I think we're just going to have to do that in batches. So I think that just really kind of falls into more of a maintenance.
Yeah, it's a living document. It's going to change.
On a quarterly basis, maybe we could just have them do a batch of those, because on a quarterly basis, then I would be going in for any applications and putting any new stuff on anyway. And I think if we can do just a quarterly maintenance, then within probably a year, we can get all the history probably done.
Okay.
So
that's good.
If we're okay with that, I can just then take him a new flash drive with the updated version. I mean, he's got the other one right now, obviously, but I can give him a new flash drive with the updated version. And we'll just put it on a quarterly rotation for update.
Okay. I was also going to try to fine-tune the draft letter to people whose houses are somewhat neglected, and I didn't get to that. So that remains open.
And the other thing that I had done in the process was create that Excel spreadsheet so we could do mailers out, which is also that quick way of just looking at the Excel spreadsheet to see, like, these are all of our properties, these are the applications
the
when they were submitted, without having to go into that full document with the photos.
Mm. Oh, that's great.
So I think the question is, should that be housed somewhere that everyone can access? And if that's the case, how would that be done?
Probably not, right? Probably it should just be for the commission.
Yeah.
But I don't know where you'd source something that's just for the commission, I wonder.
Well, and I'm not sure. I can try it from my computer. We can do an experiment, because I don't know. I don't know how 365 works in a home environment, you know, for sharing documents. But I can see if I can share it from my computer with everyone, and if you're able to open it and access it.
Okay.
So we can play with that and see, because if I then just share it with everyone, it's stored like on my computer, but you all have the ability to get in and modify it. So if it works the same as it does in a work collaboration environment, it should in theory work, but I just don't know. So we'll try it. And if that doesn't work, then we can come up with some
Does that
other
need
solution.
Some kind of a cloud repository or something?
Yeah, and I do have a cloud set up with my 365 at home. And it does say that I can share documents. Whether or not I can share and let you edit it, I don't know, though. But we'll do a trial run and see. Yeah. And if that doesn't work, we'll come up with another option.
Yeah, at first I thought we maybe wouldn't want to share it because it would have so-called private information about who the owners are. On the other hand, we got that information
kind of
from the town website.
I got it off the gig.
So now I'm thinking, what's wrong with having it on our website?
Yeah, I got it off the gig, and I think it's really important for us to somehow be notified when these properties sell.
Yeah.
That way we can update that ownership information in there.
Yeah.
Because that's where I've got it set up with the grading that we put on it. So anytime the grading changes for a property, we can quickly change it in there. It's color-coded so we know which ones are moving into the red.
Yeah.
But
I did check with the land records, and we can get the information as to the properties that are transferred on a regular basis. So this is just since January 1st. Now I'd have to go through it to get the addresses of properties in the historic district, but it's a lot of these are outside of it, and a lot of these transfers are transfers amongst husband to wife, wife to husband, couple to trust, back to individual. So there's not a lot. It wouldn't be that much to do, because I think the number that are really changing hands where it's a third party transaction are fairly limited. So, and I did look on the prior year too, and there's not that many. In fact, I'm not even sure. Sometimes I think they're relatives too. So, it should be pretty easy to do, and you could get access to this anytime.
Is that from the town website?
No, it's a separate thing that you have to get in as an attorney. I've had it for a while. Chris showed me how to get the dates and stuff, because I usually would just put in the person's name. But you can just get a whole list. So.
And when I think about what's on there, I mean, obviously the information that we have in detail about our opinions around the condition is in the PowerPoint. But that document that's the Excel is strictly the name, the location address, the mailing address if it's different.
Yeah.
It would be A, B, C, D.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's
I
it.
I think that makes sense.
And then it just has the application numbers, what it was, and whether or not it was approved or not.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing on there that they couldn't go down to the town and get themselves.
Right.
And actually, these records are available. If you can go down to the town computer and get them.
There you can.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah, so there's nothing on that spreadsheet that's proprietary. Not like the opinions that we had on the condition
right.
that we put in the big document.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Do you got more on the agenda?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's a couple of things that were on the last draft minutes just to touch on. About the neighborhood flyer. Do we talk about that, or we just let that float a little bit?
What was that? Oh, the neighborhood flyer. Oh, that.
Yeah.
All I can report is no progress.
Okay.
But I suppose I could report that I subsequently learned that we're some sort of government with the State Historic Preservation Office, which means we can get funding for that kind of thing to send information. That's it, certified local government. Let me try to find a little time to do that.
And then we can either approve the minutes or go over these project updates. Depends if anyone cares what order we go.
Minutes look good to me.
Good. Any other comments on the draft minutes? Someone want to make a motion to approve them?
To approve the minutes of January 13th.
Second. Okay, we vote.
Aye.
Okay, minutes are done. Project updates. So before we get to High Street, I did get a phone call from Rand about the Sunset Barn.
Oh, yeah.
And he said that as of next week, they're going to tear it down. He said that a month ago or 3 weeks. I don't know, it's still there. But I told him that we couldn't pull any genies out of a bottle. There's no Superman here who's going to save that. So that's that on that. And there's also the walking tour that the lady proposed. And I think don't think anybody has the horsepower to put that together between now and then.
No, it's short notice.
It is short notice.
Yeah. Although, like, the next day, I saw Eric Jackson walking up the street with his dog, and I asked him if he would open his house. He said he would.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, that's the easy part.
Yeah. Actually doing it is different.
Leave the door open. Yeah.
Okay, so there is also, it's now on to, I'm going to go through these two project updates and then we can talk about the legislation.
Yeah.
Okay, so High Street Station, a letter, there's an email between Bill Velasky, myself, the former first selectman, whose name is escaping me, and Jim. And Bill sent out a letter, which there's a couple copies floating around to the selectmen. And as a result of that email exchange, we decided that if the commission would also write another letter, and I wrote a draft of that, and I think everybody has a copy of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And...
That's his one.
Yes. There's a bunch of
them.
You have one?
Yes, I got it.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll take it. Set my computer, but I did
submit. So this is a draft, has not been sent to the selectmen.
No. Okay. No, and the idea is that the whole, it's going to come from the whole commission.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, stick a date out in there, too.
Oh.
It shouldn't be this painful moving this thing.
Jeez. Actually, this effort started in 2010.
Oh my God.
Did it really?
2010?
2000. I mean, a long time ago. It's been going on a long time. When Roger Clark was involved.
Yeah, no, that was like 2000, and then it went into hiatus. Yeah. And then it's 2021 that I think Jenny Abel was the instigator. But
yeah.
Oh, the ongoing attempt.
Yeah.
Did get revived at that time.
She's an instigator.
I like, there is a limit to shelf life.
Mm-hmm.
Well said.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
Hmm. I think it's a good letter. Yeah.
Saving this building is not an urgent priority?
No, it's not. That's my opinion. I mean, we can modify that. I mean, it does have a number of years before it's going to hit the Sunset Barn level of deterioration.
You might want to say, although saving this building is not an urgent priority, comma, and an ultimate use has not yet been identified, comma, the major obstacles have been solved, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
I'd rather,
I like that.
I was going to say, why don't you just cross that out completely and just say, well, an ultimate use has not yet been identified.
Okay.
We should save the building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
True.
Okay. I think
if it's been going on for 10 some odd years, it obviously is not urgent. At least they don't think so.
Not much urgent in town.
One of the things that is floating through my head in doing this is volunteers have brought it this far.
Yeah.
It's a town building on town property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
There's
a good point.
There's only so much we can do, and we've done everything we can do. And if either, you know, it's fish or cut bait, and it's time that either, you know.
What do they have to do? Just say, okay?
Yeah. Basically, I mean, there is the reality that there will be construction, there will be some amount of time by public works people, and you'll have an unimproved building kind of in the middle of that green area until something is done. I've always thought that, I mean, the ultimate use from Marjorie Clark and David Leff was, let's save the building and deal with the use later.
Yeah.
And I always thought that the thing to do would be to have a temporary study committee and just let them hash out what the best use would be.
Yeah, once the building is established and refurbished and everything, it's just a big hollow building.
Yeah.
Then figure out how you're going to use it.
And there's a lot of foot traffic on that area. It'd be nice to pipe in some utilities,
at least water, sanitary, and electric line. That would be ideal. Yeah. That might be in the next phase.
I think I would put in there that we're, you know, maybe just for the last sentence there, well, we're just waiting for the town to say yes. And it'll go and you know, to tell them what we're really looking for. Say yes, and we'll start. I think that's what you're saying.
Well, that's another thing. As a volunteer commission, are any of us willing to take the lead on this if they won't?
What do you mean? What do you mean by the lead?
Well, just make phone calls and say, yeah, I'm authorized to make this happen. And so there's nobody authorized. There's nobody doing anything. It just kind of...
I'll do it. If they say yes, let's do it. I'll work with the contract, Public Works and whoever else needs to get involved. I'll coordinate it.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm retired.
Clerk of the Works,
yeah, right.
Okay, yeah. No, that's... Because, yeah, I'd like to, you know, put your money where your mouth is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to do all of it, but I can certainly assist as well.
We've coordinated bigger jobs. I mean, this is pretty small.
No. Basically, all you have to do is call Will Sweeney. Say, hey,
okay. Time to get man up here, you know, right?
I mean, I hope he doesn't come up with a fuel charge. Because, I mean, in all due respect, he'd be...
So I guess the first step would be a building permit, right?
We have to get wetlands and the variance and all that. But, yeah. You know, again, we can't apply for a wetlands permit
until the town agrees.
For a building we don't own.
If the land is owned by the town and they own the building, do they need to get a variance?
Yeah, because it doesn't meet the setbacks.
I know, but it's owned by the town. Does the town have to comply with the its own regulations?
So I've asked that question.
Heavens.
I've asked that question to Neil like 3 different times and gotten 2 different answers. But twice it was, yeah, you need a variance. And once he said, no, you don't. It's town land.
It depends.
I mean, the second
it depends
would
on
be
project.
More logical for my mind, but you know, I don't know.
He also likes to go through the steps, but I would put that. We're looking for your approval, and once we get it, we will apply for a building permit. We'll go for zoning. We'll start the process. You know, so they know that they say yes.
Yeah.
We got it from there, and we'll take it. You know.
Okay. Yep.
And Doug, you've already done drawings that would probably be sufficient for those purposes, right?
So is Jim. I mean, Jim's done
five
times the work I have.
Oh, well, which isn't that much, but.
Well, I mean, you research grants, you research the contractors. You may not remember it now. You may have chosen to forget it.
Yeah, I called a couple people.
Yeah, so we do have all that stuff in place. And
if we have it and they say yes, I'll get it together and we'll get some permits.
Okay.
Get some applications into town hall and keep it moving.
And probably what I'll do, I did this before, is, I mean, I'll send it to them, but I'll go into a selectman's meeting and read it to them.
So it's that's good.
On the record and on television, because I like the screen time.
For your next career, right?
No, I don't like it. I'm not. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, so that's So we're agreed on this?
Yeah.
As far as the Collins Company redevelopment, can we just take that off the list? I don't know what's happening. We're not in a loop on it. We can have it on this.
Why don't we just say tabled for
action?
I have no idea what's going on. And
well, I don't think they were planning to come back to us until they started doing anything.
I mean, they said it would be anyway. 2 to 3 years anyhow. And I think the neighbor who lives in New Jersey who objected to the last one has objected to this one. And has I don't it, know what that
is. Wasn't there an appeal or something? And then the appeal was the appeal dismissed?
I don't know.
I forget. I think there was an appeal.
So,
and if that's we'll the case, you know, it's just
right. See what take happens, but we don't need it on the agenda anymore. Right. Okay, and finally, there's this new set of laws about this. Neil forwarded it to me like several times. The first time I looked at it and just decided that there's too much going on in the world and I can't deal with this. Mm-hmm. And then the second time, I copied it all to you. And I've been copying it to you, and I was inspired by Jerry's response, so I printed it out and read it and read some of the commentaries. And
yeah, the commentary helps.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the other stuff is legal gobbledygook. Yeah, I can't make heads or tails
of it. Sounds okay to me, but then when you read some of their comments, it's like, whoa, that's what that means.
Yeah. So
you know what, I just realized that the rep, this Cabros,
it's our rep.
Yeah. Why don't we have her come here and tell us what this is and why it was changed? Because some of it seems to me.
I think the biggest change is that you can appeal it to the Zoning Board of Appeals.
Well, it sounds like you have to go to Superior Court, and then it goes to some. The way it's written, I didn't understand that.
That's the way it was, or it is now. But this would change. It would bypass the Superior Court, and appeal would go to the Zoning Board of Appeals
in the town.
Yeah. In the town, which I'm on the board, and they know nothing about historic issues.
Uh-huh.
It's not. They know the zoning, and that's it. They don't know anything about what's going on.
But how much does the Supreme Court know about it?
Well, there's
it says here it's repealed and the following is substituted in lieu thereof. They can take an appeal. Let's see, or any the officer. Let's see, any person or persons aggrieved. Okay. Can take an appeal to the Superior Court for the judicial district in which the municipality is located, which appeal shall be made returnable to the court. But then the notice of the appeal, well, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Chairman or clerk of the commission within 12 days before the meeting.
If my eyes
procedure upon, I was going to say, trying to read this, I didn't think it made any sense. Procedure upon such appeal shall be the same. So the procedure for the appeal shall be the same as defined in Section 8 Zoning Board of Appeals in accordance with the provisions of Sections 8, 7, whatever that is. So I thought that was very confusing. I don't think that didn't make that much sense to me.
So if somebody doesn't like our decision, in the past they used to go to the Superior Court of Connecticut? Really?
That's the way it's set up now, yeah. Because somebody was saying in the comments that, you know, these historic commissions are set up by the state, and so a local zoning board of appeals doesn't have any authority over something that's set up by the state, or something like that. And so to have, and then somebody else is saying, and zoning knows nothing about historic anyways, you know, so it doesn't make any sense. I thought it said you could go to zoning. See, I'm reading that same thing, line 27 and 28. And yes, it shall be the same as defined in the Zoning Board of Appeals.
It almost sounds like you go to Superior Court and they will adopt this, you know, whatever the procedure is as defined in 8.8, whatever that is, the Zoning Board of Appeals in accordance with provisions of 8.7, which
Now, is this a done deal? Has this been passed?
No, I don't believe so.
So it's still in a period of review?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we should have that lady, whatever her first name is, I can't remember, come and tell us.
Just to interject, Janet Downey emailed and said that she couldn't come because she was on vacation, but she did say she read this and sent a letter objecting to it to both Elena Kavrostik and Thomas Savigny. So she has stepped up on that.
Okay.
Oh, good.
I mean, I can, I was going to write Elena anyways about noise ordinances, like motorcycles and stuff.
Mine's quiet.
Okay, and that good. Red truck.
Yeah.
Red truck.
And
Dodge red truck.
Yep.
And because they're coming out, there's new noise ordinances that the state has adopted that we can enforce. So I was going to comment on that. She's putting out that bill also. And I'll ask her about this and see if she can come to our next meeting.
Hmm.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah. To try to get... Because if you don't understand it...
Well, it, I mean, it says to me, I mean, I think it. This says it's following is substituted in lieu thereof. General statute is repealed and the following is substituted. And it says you go to the judicial, to Superior Court for the judicial district in which the municipality is located.
I thought that was what was repealed. And now you just go
general,
to the zoning
is,
board
general
of appeals.
Statutes is repealed and the following is substituted in lieu thereof.
I'll ask her what this paragraph
17-28
means.
Yeah, the commentaries also surprised me about there was an objection about why does the municipal properties, why are they now being exempt from historic district? I thought they already were. I mean, in our town it is.
Right.
But is that not a statewide requirement?
I don't think so.
That was something that was established when our ordinance was created, that we would exempt the town properties? But that's not true throughout the whole state. It surprised me. I thought it was already like that.
I know the state doesn't have to follow them, but local towns, I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't know. People were
making an exception to that about, well, how come they don't have to follow the rules? Everybody else does. That doesn't seem right. And I think they're not doing it now, at least out in Collinsville. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure what that was all about.
I was looking at this about state agencies as defined out and nonprofit institutions of higher education. I think about UConn and all of their...
Oh, yeah.
All their... You know, they're coming up like McDonald's all over the place with their care things. They're probably a nonprofit in their higher education, and they can probably plunk one right in the middle of Collinsville if they want without us being able to say anything.
That's interesting.
See, some towns have problems with that. We don't. We keep it all on 44th.
True.
The part about the multifamily getting tax credits seemed to be a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Have we had anybody
right
come
now
through?
It's one and two, right? I think it's one and two families can get the historic tax credit. Or the
It's up to four.
I
read the mayor of Hartford's commentary.
Yeah, I bet that, yeah.
Well, he just said, I assume it's a he. He said that we have very much property like this and anything that can help it.
Yeah, agreed.
Have we had any applications come through here looking for tax credits?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Well, they wouldn't come to us.
No, they wouldn't come to us.
No, but we'd probably hear about it.
I mean, I did one on my house. I did one on my house. Residential historic tax credit.
Okay.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought it was just, this
that
is just two family, though, right now. This doesn't apply to single family, I don't think.
No.
Tax credit.
Yeah, single and two families currently.
And you don't have to live in it. The proposal is you don't have to live in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that makes sense for the four families, I suppose.
See,
it's that certified rehabilitation.
Yeah.
Has to be two or more units.
Yeah, I didn't see anything about single family in here, I don't think. Apparently, I just read the ones. Gotta go, I'm gonna be on TV, so you're gonna get all your time. You gotta wear suits, you know. Someone had hair,
wait. I tried, and I changed my shirt.
Yep. Put a bow tie on that sweatshirt.
Yeah, everyone has to be on the internet.
Yeah. Forever.
Right.
Okay, well. In your hands.
I can do that. I do have a bunch of questions, but we'll be here all night.
Could we have a special meeting to have her come and talk?
Oh, what was that all about? Why are all of our meetings now special meetings? I thought we approved the calendar. So
they screwed up. That's my understanding.
Before we go there, on this, it says an act concerning historic districts and historic preservation. It's on file 275. Is that?
Yeah, the first page one.
Oh, page 13.
Oh.
It says summary. This bill makes several changes to the law on the local historic district commissions.
Yeah, I know, but it really, I saw that summary and it contradicts what's in their paragraph.
Well, that's why I picked up, you know, making historic district commissions decisions on a certificate appropriateness application initially appealable to the local zoning board of appeals rather than its superior court.
Yeah, I saw that, but it's different from
what it says up front.
Yeah, I mean, unless I'm reading it so
wrong. To get the lawyers room to argue.
It does say it's effective October 1st, 2026, that Section 37.
What does it say? There's a date?
It's on page 2, where it says the general statute is repealed, and the following is substituted in lieu thereof. And then it says you go to the Superior Court. It almost sounds like, and then they will follow the Zoning Board of Appeals procedure.
I think this needs somebody more than me, maybe a lawyer.
Yeah, all right.
Well, and somebody who does this stuff. And,
he's not going to run with it.
No, he's not. No.
But I would ask that. I mean, that's really pretty. Seems like the language is pretty clear there. Because they used to have a tax court. I don't know if they still do. But you could, you know, if you wanted to appeal town taxes, municipal taxes, you would file with the Superior Court. And they had a special tax court. Hmm. And I don't know whether they followed a different, the procedure was probably a little bit different. I don't know. But so that's what I was thinking when I read this. Oh, they're going to have people follow the procedures of the you know, the municipal, whatever it talks about here, the Zoning Board of Appeals in accordance with their provisions, whatever that means.
The Zoning Board of Appeals, is all we do is work with the zoning.
Yeah.
Which has got hardly anything to do with the Historic Commission.
Right.
I mean, we all know we have overlapping requirements now, but those are theirs.
I mean, it seems to make sense they don't want to have it go to Superior Court, but yeah, it says that you'll file with the Superior Court. You know. And then, I don't know.
Maybe tomorrow I can get something off.
Whether it's a diversion thing, and then what would be binding? Can you appeal from the appeals court, from the Zoning Board of Appeals? That could be the intent, that you file in Superior Court, you protect your rights, but then it's on a diversionary course, where you go to the Zoning Board of Appeals, and then if you're still not happy, you could go back to Superior Court. Because your case is still pending.
Makes no sense. ZBA doesn't have anything to do with historic. And just
so
saying,
I didn't read anything about then the Zoning Board of Appeals decision is binding. And then it refers you to 8.7, which I didn't even look at that point.
But you'd have to go back into the town constitution, because the description for ZBA is in that. And you just can't add things to it. Like, okay, now you're going to also render these decisions for the Historic Commission. Just don't throw that on them. It's got to be worked into the, into, what do you call that document?
Charter,
you know, right? I mean, you just can't. I don't think you can.
Well, current law, HD, what's,
see, your earlier,
what's the
earlier
HDC?
Point? Are we a state agency? Or are we a town? I mean, the ordinance is from the town, but if we're a what do they call it, the certified local government or whatever it is, are we a state organization?
I don't think so. The state said you have to have a historic commission. If you got historic, you have to have a commission. So they're the ones that said you have to have it, but state, the city's got to set it up.
Oh, okay.
And they appoint us, you know.
So we are a town organization, which is what I thought we were. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It does say in this summary here that if you go to the Zoning Board of Appeals and you are unhappy with the decision, then you can take it back to court. It may be appealed in court.
Doesn't make sense. I mean, it's like them coming to us saying they want us to do CBA.
Right, right.
Yeah, if they're not,
right.
Yes.
It's not what we do. We're not part of that, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Or somebody gets a ZBA decision, they don't like it, and then they come to us.
That's
or,
right.
Yeah. No, that's more like it.
That's really what it kind of says.
Yeah.
Okay, it says it shifts the initial appeal from court to the ZBA.
Initial.
A de novo review. Let's see. The plan appeals to change the shift, the initial appeal.
But anybody on ZBA would have to, you know, would have to read our document, understand it, understand
right.
the zone, understand what houses are in it, what, you know, mm-hmm. what we're doing
yeah.
before they
yeah.
could make render any decisions.
Right.
You know, and mm-hmm. it's like we'd have to
yeah.
get a zoning book out to render their addition. You know, it's like,
right.
doesn't make sense. But in October, I think it's going to go ahead, yeah, if we don't fix it somehow.
I think the analogy of then referring ZBA appeals to us is perfect. What do we know?
Yeah.
We don't
yeah.
hear about
it. I mean, you do because you're on the ZBA, but nobody else does.
Right.
They don't hear. I did all their paperwork over too. It's like, it was. Wow.
Okay, so.
I was going on.
Just to follow up. And to
I'll follow
so
up.
So we're going to try
this.
To get a couple of guests here.
That's
what we're going to try to do?
Yeah. Okay. So you can explain it to us and try and get some.
I think that's our.
Again.
I think that's our biggest issue, right? It's just them going to somebody going to ZBA. I mean, being on TV, they got that's town's got to do it. I mean, it's really somebody's got to set that all up and everything. And I've got some other questions on stuff, but I think the biggest thing everybody's worried about is just why that. So
yeah.
I'll ask her that question mm-hmm. and see if we can get an answer on that.
Yeah, and then somebody's got to come and run those, to have it on the internet.
Yeah, this is hard enough to operate.
It's a tough one.
But I remember Neil used to come when, post-COVID there, he'd come early and he'd have all this equipment and like crap.
Yeah, but so, this has got little buttons on it.
Anyway, I thought that's going to cost money if you have to have that, so, thing all set up for every meeting.
It's 8:44. Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Two votes. Thank you.